Welcome to Season 8 of the Prosthetics and Orthotics Podcast. This is where we chat with experts in the field, patients who use these devices, physical therapists, and the vendors who make it all happen. Our goal? To share stories, tips, and insights that ultimately help our patients get the best possible outcomes. Tune in and join the conversation. We are thrilled you are here and hope it is the highlight of your day. This is the Orthotics and Prosthetics Podcast with Joris Peels and Brent Wright. Joris is not able to be with us today, but he actually had some insight into some of the questions that we're going to be asking our guest today, and really excited about having Jan Rosicki on today. He's the co-founder and chief business development officer at Invent Medical. And I'm just really excited about hearing the history behind not only Invent Medical, but his journey as essentially a non-clinician into the space. And then we're going to hop into what additive manufacturing and such means to the orthotic and prosthetic field. Invent Medical has some beautiful products, not only with the transtibial socket called the AUGO, but also the helmet, 3D printed helmet called the Tally, and a bunch of other really just beautiful products. And that's what I think of when I see Invent Medical, like very thoughtful, methodical, made for additive manufacturing products. So I'm looking forward to jumping into that as well. So Jan, welcome to the show, man.
Hi, Brent. Thank you for having me. I'm so glad to be here. And really, thank you so much for what you do, you know, for the field, you know, driving the awareness of 3D printing and digital, you know, processes here on the podcast and on LinkedIn. So I really appreciate that.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, you know, Joris usually asks this first question, but we're going to ask it to you here. Is how did you get involved in the field of orthotics and prosthetics? Because I think your journey is going to be definitely an interesting one, and I think very relevant for those that are looking to get into the field as well.
Yeah, it's it wasn't so direct. So I actually studied, you know, graphic design, interactive media, marketing, and so I got. I'm not a CPO myself. I'm in the field now for over 8 years. And, you know, my dad, he's been, you know, CPO his whole life. So, you know, he actually started the company the year I was born. So literally the whole life, you know, I was in a proximity to OMP. And honestly, it was fascinating to me. So I actually never thought myself I would be working in OMP initially. But I really enjoyed, you know, seeing how much difference this field can make, you know, to people's lives and to improve, you know, the quality of life. And I liked the technical aspect as well. So, you know, my dad, over the time, they started to use various technology, you know, such as 3D printing and even software. And that to me was really exciting to see the potential and that really fusion of purpose, technology and clinical and technical skills. So that really intrigued me, and I decided that you know, I could actually, you know, use my background to in OMP. So I was really happy when my dad, you know, offered me to join the company.
Well, that is really interesting, and I love that you took this way, and I noticed that you have some experience in kind of some of the, not only the graphic design, but some of the user interfaces and things of that nature as well. But before we get into that, I'd love to hear, you know, your perspective as a child growing up in the field, because digital tools weren't readily available at that time. And then if you can just share a little bit of history and tell us a little bit about, you know, your interaction with your dad, what you saw kind of on the traditional side of things, and then how that kind of transitioned into Invent Medical.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe I'll start with a brief history of the company, because, you know, as I saw it. So actually, the company was founded more than 30 years ago in 1991 by my dad and uncle. And they started, you know, a CFAB in OMP with traditional fabrication, mainly focused on food orthotics, spinal braces. It was literally just, you know, those two. They took a loan and started, you know, building this company. And, you know, we started in Czech Republic, which is in the Central Europe. And it was just, you know, 2 years after the revolution, you know, when we got rid of the communist regime. And it was literally, you know, the first opportunity to start your own business, you know, to go independent. So that's what they did. And about 25 years ago, they started a clinical facility, you know, focused on general orthotics and prosthetics, both kids and adults. The, you know, that grew. So currently, our clinical facility treats about, thousands of patients each year. For example, in cranials, we treat more than 1,000 babies per year in-house. And my dad, what I really admire about him, he's not only a CPO, but also PhD in mechanical engineering. So, you know, with that background, he was always looking how could he, you know, and us improve the devices really for our patients, you know, how could we overcome the limitations of the traditional fabrication. And so that's why he set up initially a very small research and development team inside the company. And he was really looking into, you know, another fields for inspiration, like automotive and aerospace and other medical, you know, areas and you know, into these lean processes and inspiration as such. So that's why, you know, about 20 years ago, we adopted CAD/CAM with milling and CAD software, which really improved the process, but, you know, honestly, not really the final devices. And we became the distributor and academy center for Össur. And we also did some and still do some fabrication for them. And you know, so it was growing naturally. And about 15 years ago, my dad, you know, was fascinated with 3D printing. And back then, it definitely wasn't cool. The first 3D printer, you know, we had was actually the Z-Corp powder-based printer. So it was powder and glue. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this one. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, right. That was a like history. And we used it, you know, to create like to print molds for anaplastology, right? For to pour then silicone and create this, artificial missing limb replacements. So, of course, then we had a lot of different FDMs and SLA printers. We outsourced printing to various SLS as well. And actually, before I joined the company, my dad and our co-founder Aleš and chief designer, they were on a tour or on a trip to Germany to buy a large, expensive SLS printer. And on the way back, actually, Aleš found an article that HP just announced, you know, this plan to get into 3D printing. So we actually, or, you know, they actually, you know, decided not to purchase this SLS printer and wait for the HP, which actually turned out to be about 2 years, you know, down the road. So, and we're so happy that we did, right? But it was wild west, and really people didn't know, right, what they were doing, and you really had to learn yourself, and there wasn't as many, you know, good resources online to learn as there is now. So we actually, you know, got one of the first HP printers in Europe. And of course, it's a complex machine, you know it yourself, but it was a game changer for us because we could create new designs, really the new generation of the devices we could never do to improve comfort, function, aesthetics. And I think that was really, you know, an important milestone for us, you know, for our design team, for what we can do and you know, how are we going to fulfill our mission. So we always, the plan was always to create 3D printed devices for our patients, you know, honestly, because we have a large clinical facility and we were looking for solutions, you know, for our patients. And especially we started with cranial orthosis because we've seen how the kids sweat, you know, so much in those traditional cranial orthoses, you know, that we were fabricating, how bulky they are. And we had this dream that we can make it breathable and comfortable and improve compliance with 3D printing, make it really perforated. And we did, you know, and really the products we offer now is the products we've been fabricating traditionally or with CAD/CAM for the past 20 years, be it, you know, the prosthetic sockets, SMOs, AFOs. And we only do with 3D printing the devices that we believe, you know, 3D printing adds significant value. So that's our, you know, decision-making process. And we actually recently started to, you know, sell all our milling machines and replace it with 3D printing. So actually our plan is to get rid of CAD/CAM, you know, from 95%, really replace it with 3D printing because the 3D printed is, you know, finally there, which is so exciting. And my dad has seen it for past 15 years. I was fortunate enough to be part of this journey for the 8 years. But, you know, we even were able to grow our clinical practice to almost double it by hiring no new CPOs, just making them, you know, productive, giving them, you know, this time to focus on patients, you know, instead of overseeing the fab. So that was really the point when we decided to offer those 3D printed devices to other companies, you know, such as ourselves, and we started to build the internal software team. So that's when my colleagues Tom and Martin joined us, and we created the in-house software team, grew our design team, and we have amazing talent. You know, in our company, I'm so proud of the guys we work with. So, you know, they're award-winning and smart, creative, systematic. And, you know, what started as a really, you know, two people, a tiny company in Central Europe is now about, you know, a group of about 70 people. We sell now to more than 40 countries on 5 continents and provide tens of thousands of devices every year to more than 700, I believe, hospitals and OMP chains and clinics. And that's, you know, another great benefit of 3D printing because it's just removing the borders. We now have 8 fabrication centers from, you know, Mexico to Singapore. We're opening a new one in Australia and South America this year, a new one in USA. In the US, we've actually been in Philadelphia since 2018. So all devices sold in the US market are made in the US. And I think that's really important. It's, you know, locally made. And we're also proud, you know, to be independent. That's really what I admire my dad for. That, you know, basically all he made in 30 years, he keeps, you know, investing back. And that's why we can be working with so many great people, and he enjoys it. He's just, you know, maybe a nerd a little bit because he's just so excited about technology and can leverage it. So, you know, very, very proud of him. And I think what really drew me to the field, the what I've seen from my background is it's a lot about the treatment experience. So instead of, you know, designing the digital experiences, I switched to think about the, you know, holistic approach and how to design tools for orthotists and prosthetists, but also maybe for patients or parents of the patients, you know, to work on that whole end-to-end treatment experience.
That's so cool. And I think what sticks out to me the most is having the clinical background and technical background of their traditional fabrication and then moving into the digital side and really running the full gamut. You've got the carving that you had, and you early adopter of CAD/CAM, saw the limitations there, and then moving into 3D printing. You know, there's a lot of, for lack of a better term, that sometimes we have to just, you know, work against, I guess, the hype of 3D printing and prosthetics and orthotics, especially what's in the news cycle. What would you say to people as far as why would they consider 3D printing for their practice or, say, even a specific product? What is kind of your go-to answer or perspective for that?
No, yeah, that's a great question. You know, what we truly believe in is, right, 3D printing is a tool, and it all comes down to design, right? Because it's capable of producing great devices. It's capable of producing, honestly, terrible devices. So, you know, our goal is, you know, does it add value? Are we making something that we're, you know, unable to ever achieve with traditional fabrication? That's really the goal. So, really, we have three criteria. Are we improving comfort? Are we improving function? Are we improving, you know, aesthetics/compliance? So, you know, to give you a couple of examples, and yeah, what you said, we need to have our own, you know, hands-on experience with those devices for years, you know, from clinical and technical point. Otherwise, you know, we could be missing some important aspects. So, even though I'm not from the field, you know, we have so many people that are CPOs, and I think you just can never make it without that. So it's about the fusion of the skills of CPOs and, you know, skills that CPOs traditionally don't have. So with software, with design, with engineering, with testing. So, you know, as I mentioned, with the cranial remolding orthosis, our goal was to make, you know, the device that's very breathable, that's perforated. And, you know, what we hear from our customers that are, like, you know, in climates that are hot and humid, like Brazil or Singapore, with traditional helmets, they usually have so many issues, you know, with heat rash or with, you know, other skin issues. And they said, you know, when we started to adopt 3D printed device, you know, that's perforated, 90% of that, those issues were just, you know, resolved. So I think that's a major benefit, you know, to create a whole new generation of devices that we could never fabricate before. And we came up with this two-in-one system in cranials. It's something, you know, with the traditional mindset, we would just never think of. And 3D printing really offers the opportunity to, let's say, strap the design back, you know, to its just what is the functional indication? What is the, you know, real requirement for this device? What does it have to do? Let's forget how it looks today, because that's just the result of, you know, really all the limitations we had up until now. It's the result of limitations with traditional fabrication. Let's just write on the paper what the device needs to do, and let's think from scratch, how are we going to achieve it when, you know, with 3D printing, when, you know, very little limitations actually exist. So, and ideally, you know, which drawbacks of the traditional devices we want to solve. So that was, you know, really our first project, and it's become really widely adopted. So up until today, it's the globally number one. And you know, with this two-in-one system, just like exchanging the posterior inner layer instead of, you know, grinding, the clinicians are saving up to, you know, 70% of the clinical time. It's you know, amazing stability, because you're starting with the inner layer that's you know, good for only about 4 weeks. Then you take a screwdriver, pop it out, and pop in, you know, second inner layer that allows for more growth, and is custom designed for every single patient. So with 3D printing, we actually are able to do a 4D modification, you know, in shape and in time, to project the, you know, treatment and combine growth that we could never get in a single device with the stability that's amazing. And since there's no grinding required, we are able to do remote checkups. So it's just fascinating. I think we all are just scratching the surface of the designs that are possible to do, you know, in OMP with 3D printing.
Yeah, well, and I think that's what I really appreciate about what I've seen with Invent Medical and the product design stuff is it's not printing or printing what could be done in traditional. It is actually truly something that's a different product, something that solves a problem with their traditional way of manufacturing and makes it better. You know, I look at the AUGO socket and how you incorporate some of the flexible brim side of things, and then even some of the internal stuff. And then you've got all your distal ends and all that, but it's all consistent as far as look, design, and that sort of thing. And so I think, to me, that is what is most impressive about the Invent Medical line is it's a step. It's not a lateral step at all. It's a step to make the functional product even better. And then there's aesthetics that go along with that. I think that is pretty neat. Now, with the 3D printing side of things, I was just curious, what has been your biggest challenge? And it can be like, it would be interesting also to hear your perspective on the different markets, right? So you've got a European market, a US market, and I think each one of those markets have their own challenges to try to break into, and you've got the difference in clinical perspectives or worldviews that go across the spectrum as well. So I'd love to hear you speak a little bit to that.
Yeah, I think it's a great question. Maybe if you allow me, I would start what I'm the most excited about, you know, working with these all different markets. And you're right, you know, it's so different. You know, it's fascinating to me because we all have pretty much same bodies, you know, no matter which market. But the orthotic and prosthetic school sometimes is so different. The requirements are so different. In US, it's really about efficiency, you know, while in some European countries, it's just so different, you know, and where, you know, people are paid much more to, you know, build stuff in-house, and there's pretty much almost no push, you know, to be efficient and see more patients. So it's interesting. But, you know, what I am really excited about, you know, talking to all these different, you know, professionals from our field internationally, is we are very deliberate to listen, to, you know, ask for feedback and see how different or the same problems are, you know, solved differently. And actually, our devices, you know, a lot of those smart features, those, little details are, you know, what our customers told us. So we are always, you know, very actively listening. What do you like? What do you don't like? You know, what ideas you have? What would you wish for, you know, in your wild dreams? And we then, you know, have the ability to implement that feedback quite quickly, you know, and create a device that really is co-designed, you know, by customers in like 45 countries. And I think that's what I love about my job and being in OMP, like how different problem solving, you know, is applied on different markets by different people, how, you know, they approach to different patient cases, which solutions there are. So, you know, we cannot take all the credit for those designs, even though we have amazing, brilliant design team. But it's even more, you know, it's really what I like to call, like, you know, this international melting pot of OMP ideas. So I think, you know, that's what never was possible before, right? Those, this breaking borders, you know, again. And you also mentioned the consistency of 3D printing production of, you know, digital production, you know, in our central fab, you know, when we used CAD CAM or traditional fabrication, and I'm sure many other companies had the same issue, is, you know, when you scale, you compromise on quality, on delivery times, and so on. But you know, with 3D printing, since it's all pretty much software and scalable, repeatable, you know, process, it's absolutely, you know, consistent and reliable outcomes, even if you scale, you know, 10 times. So that's what I'm excited about. And of course, the challenges you asked is, you know, regulatory is different in every market. Reimbursement is different in every market. You know that with 3D printing, maybe you lose some codes, maybe you can gain some other, but that's US. So I think that what is interesting is, you know, once you start focusing on one market, it becomes more difficult to sell to the others because they have different needs, they have different priorities and different reimbursement structures and so on. So we all know how important it is to fit into the L codes, which are so old and never were designed for 3D printing. And every country has, you know, something like that. So that definitely is a challenge. And honestly, when I talk to CPOs at different markets, I know there's, you know, different priorities. Sometimes it's saving clinical time. Sometimes it's gaining competitive advantage. Sometimes, you know, there's really fear, you know, what am I going to do when 3D printing is going to steal my job, right? And that's not how it works. But it's also part of it, you know, explaining this, that 3D printing is a tool. And I believe, you know, us as a field will naturally become just more, you know, patient focused instead of, focused on fabrication. Because if our value proposition is we are going to fabricate you this device, you know, why companies, you know, in a type of Johnson & Johnson, right? Why they shouldn't just go to hospitals, put their printer, a software, and, you know, replace the whole field. So our mission is really to protect the OMP field, give the tools that the CPOs have time to spend with patients, and really become the clinical partners to PTs, to doctors, you know, protect our field from, you know, these attempts.
No, I think that's neat. I'd love for you to kind of just take our listeners into a journey. Let's, if you wanted to, even a couple of products, like how do people, or your philosophy on, say, ordering a product, what is the clinical inputs? And then what is, and responsibilities, and then what is the responsibility of Invent Medical to provide a product? So, you know, I think that's one of the interesting things I think that you guys do is you control a lot of the production side of things, even the modification side. I'm not exactly sure on that, but you are working and partnering with clinicians to essentially make them very good communicators on what their final device is needing to do and needs to function. So can you take our listeners through that process?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, our goal is basically to be, you know, the digital hands for the orthotists and prosthetists. So we understand we don't see the patient ourselves. So we need, you know, all the clinical input. Of course, the better scan we get, the better results. So either you scan the check socket in prosthetics or give us, you know, the STL. In kids, mostly you would still cast because you need that control and scan the cast from the outside. But, you know, our goal is not to push any clinician into a specific workflow. So if they prefer to create a plaster positive, modify themselves, do the build-ups, and scan the modified positive, we are able to do that as well. So we are able to let our, you know, customers and partners decide how much involved they want to be. And that really is almost per market. So we know some markets, 99% of people prefers to modify it themselves. Some markets, 99% of people prefers to have us modify, you know, the modes. So, but yeah, so we get, you know, the patient information, we get the anatomical data, we get the, you know, indication and the requirements. So our customers, we have basically like a visual configurator. You can imagine it as a car online configurator where you select the type of the device, you select, of course, all the different add-ons and features it has to have. So it wouldn't be too different, you know, from ordering forms of, you know, some of the well-known CFABs, but we are able to add even more options of customization, of different small, you know, design changes that our customers can request. So we have like the basic section of configuration and then the advanced section. So usually, you know, customers can select the trim line, maybe, you know, proximal to med heads or, you know, longer on the lateral side. But we also have a version of the configurator where they can draw the trim lines either on the cast or in our software on the device. So we really don't want to push the CPOs, you know, into one workflow, but offer them a tool set that they can work with, but in any case, you know, doesn't take more than a couple hours to master and start using. And, you know, what we are fascinated with 3D printing is, you know, right now or always with OMP, it was choose the material and choose the thickness. Here, we may be a little bit limited with the materials, but we can implement hundreds of thicknesses, right, throughout each device. So based on patient activity level, weight, size, and many more parameters, such as device type, we, you know, design the thickness custom to every patient to make sure that the device doesn't break, is safe and reliable, but is, you know, as low profile and lightweight as possible. So we built this very easy to use online, basically ordering form. We call it configurator, where, you know, orthotists fill in all this information, upload the scan. We deliver the usually in 2 weeks, the final device ready for fitting, but it's still adjustable. And why we want to control the whole, you know, design, printing, post-processing, assembly phase is, I'm sure you know it yourself, how many parameters, you know, influence the 3D printing, you know, the cooling, the even position and nesting of the devices in the printer. Then so many different, you know, types of post-processing and the settings of post-processing don't really have good experience with just, you know, send in the data and print it wherever you want and finish it. It really adds so much value when it's, you know, end-to-end, and, you know, who designs it, understands how it should be printed, or at least works very closely, you know, with that printing partner that understands the OMP and, you know, really fine-tuned all the SOPs and the procedures and quality assurance gates to make sure that the device will end up, you know, after printing, after assembly, in the quality that they expect. So that's why we're also able to give, you know, warranty on those devices.
No, and I think that's great. I mean, I can't say I blame you. You know, some of the stuff that we get in is less than impressive, I could say, that we have to work with. And so, you know, it's a funny little industry for sure when it comes to that. But I think it's important, like what you said at the very beginning, is the scan is the foundation that can literally make or break you as far 100%, as a fitting, you know, and one scan is not the same as the other scan. And so having that education with the clinicians and the practices and that sort of thing is so important. And I think one thing that people, and I think you guys actually do a good job, because you have to know what you're getting, but you can use a scanner and make it work. You just have to know which one you're using and know what the tool does. That's exactly what it is. It's a tool for you to use. And if you know the nuances about the tool, the problem is that you may know the nuances, and so let's say you do FDM inside your practice and that sort of thing of that, but then you send off to somebody else, it's going to be different. And that's one of the challenges that I find with just 3D in general, is that foundational piece of information is so key. So, I mean, I guess I can turn that into a question too. So how do you guys make sure that when you've got the configurator and you've got this file, how are you confirming that what you are getting ready to print is actually what was scanned or perceived scanned? And I know you can have quality checks along the way for that, but just wondering, like, if you're able to share what some of that looks like in your process.
Yeah, you know, Brent, I was nodding my head all the time as you were talking, because yeah, the cast, it's or the scan, it's absolutely, you know, critical. If, you know, my advice to anybody who wants to start 3D printing, make sure you take a good cast and make sure you take a good scan, because you know, especially with digital processes and 3D printing, it's so accurate that, you know, pretty much garbage in, garbage out, right? There's, you know, so many, and I don't want to, you know, blame anybody, but there's practitioners, you know, that just send the cast or scan, you know, to traditional CFAB and say, you know, fix it and get me something out of it. But with 3D printing, it's really a shame to do it. It doesn't work. So sometimes we have to, you know, reject the scans that we get. And a big portion of our online training, so maybe to start, you know, it properly before anybody can start, you know, ordering from us, we offer this online training, which is free of charge. Depending on product type, it can take from 20 minutes for SMOs to up to 4 hours for cranials. And in this training, a big portion is, you know, explaining to our potential customers how to scan, which scanners to use, how to know if the scan is good or not. So education is a big part of it. You know, every year we test about 30 scanners in-house and compare them to a baseline, which for us is the Tech. So the same model scanned, you know, with RTEG and then compared to all the others, you know, from different iPhone apps, iPad scanners to, you know, handheld scanners, cheap and expensive. So that we are able to make this informed suggestion to our customers. And with some devices, we even have a list of, you know, approved scanners that they can use. And just to make it, you know, simple for our customers. So I would say maybe even half of the customers that start with us buy a new 3D scanner. Just, you know, it makes so much sense, saves you so much time and even money down the road that it makes sense. I'm quite impressed with the Shining, scanners, which the Einstar is, you know, like $1,000 and just works great. So that would be my recommendation for anybody who wants to get into pretty accurate and easy to use scanning in OMP. And then, you know, once we receive the order, we actually, the fastest growing team inside the company is something we call data inspectors. So each set of, clinical, technical, and scanning data that comes through our ordering is actually inspected by this team, which has, you know, a clinician, technician, and then a team focus on this, you know, data inspection. So that's even before we start the design process, where we, you know, are able to just stop, you know, 90% of the orders that don't have, you know, sufficient scan data. After the scan, after the design process, the same team checks the data even before it's printed. And we actually developed a huge software in-house to help us evaluate all this data, you know, for accuracy, how it fits, you know, to the modified scan, how it, you know, fulfills all the requirements we created. And once it's printed, another team checks, you know, the device and compares it to the data, you know, to make sure that even after printing and assembly, you know, it's what we really wanted. So there's, you know, a big part of automation, but also this team that is overseeing this process and communicates to our partners, you know, if maybe some configuration doesn't make sense clinically or the scan is not correct. So that's, you know, how we approach that. And I think without that, it just wouldn't work.
No, and I think that's great. And I think the underlying theme of all this is, and you've mentioned it earlier on, is this idea of software and data. And so I kind of envision you guys almost like Tesla, you know. It's like Tesla, yes, they make cars, but that's not actually what they do. They process all the data and data points really around the world of all the roads, and they have massive things to make the experience of the end user even better and better. And so I see that role in data specifically for O&P just increasing and increasing. And so for, especially when you talk about the helmets and such and the data that you guys have fitting literally thousands of these, you're just making the product better and better and better because you have a wealth of data, and you've jumped ahead and even some of the old data, right? So, and I think the other thing that is interesting about all that, and we touched on it a little bit earlier, is everybody has a body, bone structure, that sort of thing. So I'm sure you start to see even themes along some of these modification processes with the data that you have. And I think that's the exciting frontier that in O&P that not a lot of people are talking about, but I think it is going to be the biggest part of creating products in the future for orthotics, prosthetic, present and future.
Definitely. On the front end, what customers see is we're basically, you know, their digital CFAP. They send us the right data. We give them the patient-specific devices. But behind the scenes, it's really the O&P clinic, you know, that started traditionally with the fab, turned into a software company, you know, with a design and engineering department. So it's really what we are building is software.
Yeah. So I want to get a little bit more some stories. I think it really resonates with our audience. I'd love for you to share a case that you've seen of a clinician that maybe has been entrenched in the traditional side of things, try a product, 3D printed product for the first time, and that helped them make a change or for the better for their practice. Do you have anything that comes to mind on that?
I don't want to name specific people or companies, but honestly, you know, some of our customers start in the way, you know, we tested everything, it didn't work. So, you know, why not use you and 3D printing, you know, for our most challenging, you know, patient. So this was a case, you know, of a ground reaction, AFOs, this traditional fabrication, you know, this customer, it just would never, you know, fit right and break. And they were just like, you know, the anatomy was just like so unique that they were, all right, we tried everything. Let's, you know, we wanted to start with you, so let's start with this case. And of course, it's not what we prefer because we always like to, you know, start walking before running. But yeah, it was for a girl, and she just loved, you know, the AFOs. She's still wearing them, and it was a complete success, you know, and that company started then to utilize, you know, our AFO line since then. But they really, you know, chose this just case they couldn't crack, you know, to start with.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great one. That's a great one. So on a personal side with the with a patient, like I know you get a ton of stories, but any patient stories that just come to top of mind of where that, you know, they may have been in some sort of traditional something another, and they were maybe down to their last, you know, options, and they tried something that you guys had, and it worked and made a difference in a patient's life. Do you have a story around that?
I personally, mostly, you know, kids I see are at, you know, our clinical facility, and it's cranials. So, you know, so with cranials, right, it's not like it would be the last resort and just probably like that. But we have had cases, you know, when the maybe older brother was wearing the traditional helmet, and you know, younger sibling was now in the 3D printed helmet, and the parents were just like so amazed, you know, about the difference of that device, and also you know, how much more comfortable and breathable, you know, it is. So how much less sweating there is. So that reminds me, actually, in US, you know, we had a customer that had a patient, you know, for cranials that with eczema, and you know, this patient just refused the traditional cranial orthosis because you know, the skin issues were just so severe that they couldn't proceed with the treatment. So they actually started tested, you know, the 3D printed device from us, and you know, no skin issues at all. So that was definitely a great case, when otherwise, you know, this patient wouldn't be able to continue, you know, with the cranial remolding treatment, and in this way, you know.
Oh, that's a great, yeah, great story, and I love that, because somebody has some, you know, pre knowledge of what the process was like, and now this change with another kiddo, and now they see how it is. So that's a great story.
Yeah, you know, also what I keep hearing from our customers in our, you know, flexible SMO, we just love the TPU material, right? It's such a great fit for the OMP field, and you know, so we have this SMO which is just pure TPU, and it's also available from measurements, and we're taking, you know, one more measurement than you know, most of the other providers. And right, with traditional production, you could never have so many options available, like this, you know, dummies or whatever. And with software, you don't mind, right, that it adds, you know, millions of other like versions. So you can get so much better fit, you know, the calcaneous capture with that device, you know, when it's printed and when you introduce more data on the, you know, in the entry. So it's just really fascinating what, you know, the software in combination with design, in combination with 3D printing, can provide. And you know, I'm going to repeat, I think we're just all scratching the surface, and the designs we all can produce are just unlimited, and the bottleneck is our imagination. So that's, you know, what we're just so excited about. And for sure, in, you know, 5 years, the OMP devices will look probably anything like they do today.
Yeah. Well, for our listeners that have never ventured into the digital side of things, what advice do you have for them to get started?
Yeah, you know, it's much easier than they would think. So they definitely need a scanner, right? And be more accurate with scanning. You know, if you spend 5 more minutes in scanning, it's going to save you an hour down the road, you know, on adjustments, on fitting and all of that. So that would be my number one advice. I don't want to promote us too much, but you know, that's our goal, to make it just a plug and play solution, right? To pretty much offer the digital form, which is pretty much, you know, familiar to people using other CFABs. They fill it in and get back, right, the 3D printed device, and they use the fully digital process. So it can be really as simple as that, you know, 20 minute training, fill in this form and get back the device into it's gonna fit well, and voila, you're using, you know, 3D printing and digital processes. But it's our goal to democratize otherwise quite complex technology, right? The 3D printing is very far from being plug and play, and the design part, that's something that really CPOs need to learn the hard way. And I don't think many have, you know, opportunity, time, money to do that, right? So that's you know, where we can help to just make it very accessible to everybody. So I think, you know, a huge portion of cases we can solve like that. But yeah, then for those, you know, 5 to 10% of very unique anatomies, patients, they always will have to be done, you know, in a very custom, hands-on, individual way in-house.
Yeah. Well, as we get to the end of this, I want to just ask a kind of more of an open-ended question. We've covered a whole bunch of things, you know, from the business side of 3D printings, to some of the history. Is there anything that our listeners that we missed that you think they should know, either about you, Invent Medical, the 3D printing side of things, that that you can leave them with?
That's a great question. I think, you know, what I would recommend everybody in our field to think about is, you know, I believe that 3D printing is a much bigger step, you know, for our field than, you know, switching from metal and leather to plastics. So probably most of the field will utilize, you know, 3D printing and digital processes daily, you know, in very, very soon, right? Starting yesterday. So it's something to be mindful of, and the companies should prepare for that. So, you know, either it could be a big opportunity where a lot of companies will, you know, become winners of this and get more market share, more referrals, more, you know, patient sources. Some will be late adopters and will lose in this transformation. That's always, you know, when the technology is changing. So I think it's nothing to be scared of. I think it's a beautiful opportunity, not only for our field, but especially, you know, for our patients that we serve, to really get them devices that we were really limited by the tools we were using, and we're not limited anymore. So there's a way to hopefully improve comfort for our patients. So that's what we all should be excited about. And the way there is, you know, there's so many different ways to start, but it doesn't need to be difficult and complex. There's a lot of resources online now. So I would encourage everybody to, you know, look for a way and start, you know, getting their hands dirty.
Oh, I think that's great advice. And I think the other part that I think I appreciate about what you have said is that the world has become very flat. There's experts literally around the world that are in access to 3D printers, professional 3D printers. And that's an exciting part about the O&P side of things, is that these people are literally worldwide and wanting to help. You know, it's an interesting dichotomy, I guess you would say, is those that are really trying to get the 3D printing side of things going within orthotics and prosthetic. There is almost like a little bit of a brotherhood. I mean, there's obviously some competition, some people that don't want to be part of the brotherhood, but a brotherhood of people, hey, we're just trying to raise the level of care for the orthotic and prosthetic field by moving into the digital space. Because I mean, what you just described and what I truly believe is that the outcomes for patients in these kind of 3D printed devices are better than in traditionally fabricated devices. And it just is. And so the idea is, hey, let's try to get all of our colleagues moving in this direction. So ultimately, our patients get the best care and best outcomes possible.
Definitely. Definitely. And I think it's also about, you know, asking different questions, right? Before, right, what we see all the time on LinkedIn is, you know, people asking, all right, which thickness should be, you know, this device printed in? And it's become more complex, and maybe we need to change our mindset, you know, with the approach to this technology. But it can be definitely, you know, the technology already proved that it can be safe, it can be reliable for all kinds of applications and devices. And it's, I think it's inevitably the future, or probably even today, you know, for our field. And it's exciting for the patients. So yeah, we should work as a field to get there. There's not a single right way to do it. And as you said, there's so many people willing to help with that, which is amazing.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks, Jan, for being on today. I think our listeners are going to get a lot out of this podcast. There's a lot of nuggets of wisdom and really some areas of action for our listeners to take. So thank you again for sharing your journey and being generous with your time today.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
All right. And thank you for listening to the Prosthetics and Orthotics Podcast. We will see you on the next one. Thank you.